This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest, a longtime friend of the family, somebody that I've known pre-pandemic, going back to 2019. It's been awesome watching her grow as a human, as an artist, as a songwriter. She's got a brand new song out, and she's getting ready to put out a whole project of music. We got our girl, Callie Prince,
hey.
CFP. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You look great.
Thank you.
Looks like life is going well and just
going really good.
Things are good. So how has the fall been for you so far?
It's been really good. It's been so busy, but it's been so good.
Busy in terms of writing, traveling, getting music out? What?
Everything. I feel like I've been writing so much lately, which is a good thing. But I've been so busy. Like when I have a day off, I'm like, I'm just going to lay in bed a little bit longer and I'm just not going to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, those taking that off time is huge. So tell me about Cigarettes. That's a song that Nikki T and I have loved for a long time, and it's awesome that it's finally out.
I know, I'm so excited. I wrote it actually in February of this year with Jack Hummel and Walker Tootin, and it was the first song we ever wrote together. I like walked into the write, and I was like, guys, I have this idea about this song about cigarettes. And they were like, okay. And so we wrote it, and I've loved it ever since we wrote it. It's you know me. I love singing about cigarettes.
Yes. So. Yeah. I remember smoking cigarettes with you at Live Oak back in the day when, because you were, I'm trying to remember when exactly I first met you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was definitely on one of my rounds.
Yes,
on a Tuesday
was.
Night at Live Oak.
It was.
I forget if it was with Lance Carpenter. Would that have been?
Maybe.
Was Lance Carpenter and SJ? Like it was around that time. Like,
yes, it was.
Might have been right before the pandemic. Because
mm-hmm.
How old are you now?
25.
You're 25. So going back 5-6 years. Yeah, you weren't even 21 yet.
Yeah.
I remember having you in the bars.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about being so young, getting started with this, and what it was like moving to Nashville.
It was something I've always wanted to do, and I finally did it. And I'm glad I did it at 19, which, I mean, obviously I couldn't get a lot of places. So I luckily made friends with Hasten at Live Oak, and he let me go in the bars before I was 21. So we love Hasten for that.
Yes.
But Live Oak was really like the only bar I could really get into because I had a connection. So I have a really deep connection with Live Oak. Because
it was Live Oak because you were playing all the rounds over there.
I was.
You were playing Grindhouse. You were playing Sundays with Nikki T. You were doing the Magic Hill stuff, doing our stuff, doing Zeb's Why Not Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like that seems like a huge spot in your development as a writer, as an artist, and where you seem to have met a lot of your friends.
I met almost all of my friends at Live Oak. So I owe my life to Live Oak.
There was something special about that OG building.
Yes,
too.
It was. Yes, I was talking to someone about this the other day. It was just like the layout of it, the stage, just, I don't know. It was really special and I miss it so much.
Yeah, it was like if you wanted to talk with your friends, you'd go on the other side of the bar.
Yes.
So then you weren't interfering with the guys and girls that were playing.
Yes.
If you wanted to pop out and have a cig, you could.
Yes, and you could still hear the music.
Yeah, you could still hear the music, clean bathrooms, and the lighting and the sound and everything in there was just...
It was phenomenal.
We had some good times in there.
Phenomenal. And my heart breaks for the whole topic.
Yeah. So when did you feel like you started really developing in terms of as an artist and as a songwriter? Because you move here at 19.
Mm-hmm.
You're underage. You can get into Live Oak, maybe Belcourt Tap, shout out back in the day.
Yes.
Like those rooms. When does the switch flip from the girl that moved here to writing song, moved here to write songs to, oh shit, I'm doing this thing?
When I feel like, songwriter-wise, it happened when I started doing music full-time. There's something about the switch in your brain that flips when you go from, like, working, like, I was a full-time nanny, to only doing music, and it's like, I have to make money doing this to survive, like, to pay my bills and stuff like that. And I don't know, it just lit a fire under me a little bit more. And so that really, like, for songwriter and stuff, but, like, for artist, I mean, it really wasn't until, like, 24, I guess, last year that I was, like, I want to be an artist. Like, I mean, I've obviously always put music out, but it was also, like, what I wanted to talk about and just like what I wanted people to know about me. And so that really, I really just like hit it hard last year and just started working.
Yeah, because there's so much vulnerability mm-hmm. that when you're an artist, you have to have eyes and ears on you at all freaking times. And yes. coming from where you come from, the little Philly, Philadelphia, Mississippi, yeah. mm-hmm. and coming from a small town, that's a big adjustment.
Yes. Well, I mean, I feel like coming from a small town, like you have eyes on you all the
time. Well, I'm saying to the masses of like, yes. you put a video up and potentially hundreds of thousands or ideally millions yes. of people are seeing you.
And they're judging every little thing you
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
It's, it's different.
So talk about growing up in Philly. Mississippi holds a special place in my heart. Yes. Starkville is one of my favorite towns in
yes,
America.
Yes, go dogs. Go
Big
dogs.
Win. Shout out to Ike and Ashlyn. Yes. They went down there for that game.
Hey. That's our good luck charm. We're doing good this year. I'm not gonna jinx us. But growing up in Mississippi really was special to me. Like hunting and fishing and just loving every day. No.
Yeah. But literally.
Literally loving every day. And just like being around my family. Like my grandparents they're still there, like my dad's still there, and just like being able to go back and I don't know, just something about it. It's engraved in me, like it's a part of me. And
yeah. How often do you get home?
As much as I can. If I have like a weekend off and I really need a break, I will drive home. It's like 5 hours, so it's not that far, and I'm used to the drive now. I'll just hop in my car and I'll go 5 hours, even if I'm only going to stay for 2 days. Like yeah. I will go home and like get that reset and just be with my family.
Yeah, and Mississippi's a state where there's been so many guys and girls that have come out of there. Yes. Obviously, going back to like the Faith Hills of the world, the
yeah.
Hardy, who's another Philadelphia guy. Mm-hmm. Randy Houser, there's yeah. like Gary from Muscadine came up in that Hattiesburg scene. Yeah. Like coming from there, like watching all those artists, especially Hardy, what was that like growing up as someone that loved music, wanted to do music, and saw other folks from Mississippi doing it?
It was really encouraging because this is all I've ever wanted to do. And it's very rare that you find someone like that does it where you're from. Like no one in my high school did what I do. Like I was literally the only person that does this right now. And just like seeing him do that and be so successful with it. And he did it so well.
Yeah.
And it just was like, okay, I can do this. Like I can do this. And so I really like I listened and I learned like from what he did and just like his songwriting and stuff. And it really helped me like do it, honestly.
And he talks a lot about back home.
Yes. He like, loves Philadelphia.
He reps, it's Neshoba County, right?
Yes. Neshoba County.
Have you been in one of those cabins at the fair?
Oh Lord. Yes.
I've heard stories about that because yes. my old roommate, another Philadelphia native, Ethan Willis.
Oh yeah.
Him and I were roommates for about a year and a half. And he used to tell me all the time being like, oh Baril, we're going to get you down to the Neshoba County Fair.
Yes.
Talk about that for a little bit. Cause that is a huge, talk about big time in a small town.
Yes.
I've heard that is just one of the most like, if you know, you know, kind of festivals and
yes.
events.
It's one of those things, like I can explain it to you all day, but until you experience it for yourself, like you're not actually going to understand what I'm saying, because it's like a whole week at the end of July where you like move out of your house and you go to the fair cabin and you stay in the fair cabin for a week. Like you live out there. No one's in town. The whole town goes to the fairgrounds, like the whole town. So it's like a ghost town. And you just like hang out and you catch up with people you haven't seen and you just walk around and there's horse races. There's like a midway. There's like this dark gambling game that you play. And it's just, it's actually crazy. I mean, and they have a petting zoo and you can buy the animals from the petting zoo.
Wow.
Yes. You can buy the animals for the
petting zoo. Have you and your family purchased an animal?
No. I always win my animals. So there's a game. Like, I feel like every fair has
you can
this game.
Win?
You can, like, win, like, bunnies or, like, fish at the fair. And I won a bunny 1 year.
So that's, like, where you go to, like, the boardwalk or something and you get, like, a stuffed animal.
Yes, yes. But it's in the middle of the country. Yeah. It's just, like, in the middle of the country, red dirt. It always rains during the fair. And so then, like, the red dirt is just, like, this big mud hole and all the kids put their swimsuits on and they go swimming in the mud hole. Like it's like the country thing you've ever seen.
That's awesome. And Hardy, were you there when Hardy played?
Yes, I was. It was so electric. It was great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, Mississippi, I remember my first time going down there. Gary and Charlie from Muscadine played a trick on me, and they told me that chicken gizzards were something that I had to have. They're a southern delicacy. You have to get them. You have to try them. And I remember eating them at a gas station on our way to a show at Rick's. And I was like, why aren't they? And then they had me order first and then go out to the van. And then they all got the chicken tenders and the corn nuggets and the good stuff. And I'm sitting there eating gizzards and livers. That was my first taste of Mississippi.
No. Oh, I've never had that, nor will I.
Really? No. You've never even had it?
No. Mm-mm. No. Uh-uh.
Is it just knowing what it is that you're like, I can't have this?
I don't know what it is, but just the word. If you're like, we're going to have chicken gizzards, I'm like, no. It's just the word. Just ugh.
Gizzard.
Like,
it's just dirty.
It's dirty, and it's like, I can't do it. I mean, I just recently, within the last like 2 or 3 years, started eating deer meat. Like, I
really, yes,
even though I would go hunt, I just there for some reason I couldn't eat it. Like it.
Wow.
It took me, crazy enough, it took me eating it in the form of chili, and like it was like someone else made it. I didn't know who they were. And I was like, ooh, chili. I love chili. And like, I was eating it. And I was like, this is so good. And they're like, yeah, it's like deer meat. And I was like, for a second, I was like, I was like, okay. And I just like kept on eating it. I kept on. And it was actually really, really good. So I was like, maybe it's not as bad as I've been making it out to.
Yeah, anything in chili is good.
Yes, yes.
Especially this time of year. I know it's like 90 degrees out right now. Or...
I make chili year round. So.
Really? Yes, year round?
Year round. I mean, I don't care how hot it is. Chili is... It's one of the easiest meals to make, and it's so good. And it's good reheated. So, I mean, you know, crock pot meals year round.
Oh, there you go. Whipping up the crock pot and everything. So, talk about now you've got a team around you, and it seems like that's elevated just because you've been doing it for a while and you've been doing it independent. And it's like you can record when you can afford to record. You can. You know what you want to do, but you don't quite know how to do it. Yeah. And now you've got guys and girls around you on the songwriting side, on the management side. So talk about what a blessing that's been to have people in your corner.
It's been so nice. It's been like an adjustment a little bit, but it's been like the best adjustment. Like just having people like run my calendar has been the biggest one.
I'm jealous of that.
It's so nice. Like, it's so nice to have someone else over your calendar. You just wake up and you just see where you're at that day and you go and you just see what you have to do. It's amazing. But the team, I'm really lucky to have like a really good team around me and like to have found a really good team. JD Groover, Chris Dubois. And then I have like an LA side to my team, which is game changer. I love my LA people. It's the Ogun Lessie group in LA. And they're just so good. I have talked to them almost every single day.
Wow.
We're always trying to figure out, like, how we can, you know, level up and just what we can do on social media or just, you know, just I'm like, what can I do better? Like, how can I, like, change this? Like, because, I mean, they know that I want to be, like, a superstar. I've always said I want to be a superstar. But I'm like, how can we achieve this, you know?
Yeah, and you talk about being a superstar. And it right now it seems like for a while it was weird for girls. It was weird in the genre. I mean, obviously, growing up, like, you had Carrie, you had Miranda, you had Casey Musgraves, you had female-led groups like Little Big Town and Lady A and things like that. But now it's, you have Ella kicking the door down. You have Megan kicking the door down. Yeah. Like, you have this resurgence almost. So talk about coming up in this time that you are where girls can kind of say whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, I love it because you know me, I say whatever the hell I want anyway. You know, I just feel like this is my time to break through.
Yeah.
But I feel like for the longest time, it was like, oh, you don't say that because you're a girl. Like, you know, I'm like, but this is who I am. And it's like, if you want me to be me, then this is who I am. And so I think now it's becoming more like normal for girls to just, I don't know, just... I don't know how to explain it, but it's just great to come up in this because I feel like I can be truly myself and not have to pretend, you know?
Yeah. And obviously Cigarettes is one of those songs where you show that, but what are some other songs that you feel like I'm saying whatever the hell I want to.
I have a song coming out on my EP. It's called Heart of Stone. And it's one of my favorite songs that I've ever written because I wrote it about the first time I ever got my heart broke. And normally, like, you know, when people hear that, I'm sure they're like, oh, Lord, like, you know, here's another girl about a heartbreak song. But I feel like in this song, it's like, I truly say, I'm like, this is how I felt, and this is how it made me.
You effed me up. Yes. No, yeah, that's another round staple.
It's just like, And honestly, to be quite frank, if I want to shut a room up, I sing that song. And then I'm like, because they don't expect me to say, you F me up. I mean, that coming out of a girl's mouth, they're like, what? It'll shut them up real fast. But it's one of my favorite songs to sing and one of my favorite songs that I've ever written. And I mean, funny enough, in the write, it was a joke when I was like, they were like, just say whatever you want to. And I was like, well, he F me up. And they were like, well, then let's say it. And I was like, wait, like, really? I love that. And so we did, and we kept it, and I'm so glad we did.
Who'd you write that with?
Ryan Cohn and Cole Miracle.
Yeah. Ryan is an absolute monster. I know, yes. Cole is too, but Ryan has just been on, like, a bender.
He's all over my EP. Like, he has 4 songs on my EP. He recorded 2 of them. I write with Ryan all the time. He is one of my favorite people to write with, and he's just one of my best friends in the whole entire world.
How rare is it to find a guy that writes well with girls? Because I was going to say, it seems like the guys that stand out, like, I think of Ryan. Mm-hmm. I think of Johnny Clausen. Yeah. Like, I think of people in that vein because it's, again, you're in a room and you're getting, it's an intimate space where it's like vulnerable and it's, talk about what it's like doing that, like having guys to write with in addition to like your girl gang.
Yeah, it's nice because they have a different perspective, but it's also when you find the guys like Ryan Cohn and Johnny Clausen, like, that can actually write for girls, it's a game changer because it just like adds a whole different level of like, I don't know, like it contributes to the sound. It contributes to the, like, just the melody of it. It changes it. And I love it because I'm a girl's girl, but I'm also a guy's girl. Like, I grew up around boys. Like, I have brothers. Like, I mean, I'm one of the boys, as my friends would say, Cal, you're one of the boys. I'm like, oh God. I mean, I don't know. It just, being around guys is normal for me. So
yeah, you've always been one of our favorite hangs in town. I think back to like Key West.
Oh yeah.
We've had some good times down in Key West. I think about you coming to some festivals with us and just being somebody that's been like around our brand. Like when somebody talks, like when I introduce you on stage, I always say our she gens, know, like I group you in as being one of like this crop of people that you're coming up with right now. Like, there's some talented females or some talented guys, and you guys all happen to be friends with each other.
We do. Which is really and it's cool. It's really weird because when you first move to town, people are like, find your group and you're going to come up with your group. And I feel like that's happening from my group right now, which is like so cool. Like, we're the group, guys. We're the group. We're coming up.
So and it's a group that we've kind of been watching for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, I think of you, I think of like Paxton, I think of Jake, I think of Schools, obviously Austin Snell and Mack Eason. And and on the girl side, like the Shelbys of the world.
Yeah.
And like, you guys all moved to town around the same time.
We did.
And it's working.
It works, and it's weird and it's cool, but it's fun. It's fun. Wouldn't want to do it with anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. So now, how has it been? Have you gotten to go out and do a lot of shows yet? Or is that kind of what's next on the docket? It's get the music out, then attack the shows next year.
Yes, it's get the music out and get the shows next year. And which I'm a very impatient person.
Yes,
I've always I've got to like, I got to do it now. I got to do it.
Yeah.
I can't just sit and twiddle my thumbs. Even though sometimes on my off days, I'm like, I don't want to do anything, but then I like get up and I find something to do and I'm just like texting. I'm like, what can I do? And they're like, chill out. Like, just take a breath, you know? But I'm so impatient, and really JD has helped me become less impatient. And he's always telling me on the phone, be patient, Callie, be patient. And I'm like, I can't. I'm not a patient person. But I've really learned my patience with everything within the process. Because I want to play shows tomorrow. Like, if you were like, go open for so-and-so, I'm like, I'll have my car and go right now, you know?
Yeah.
But he's like, be patient. It'll come when it's supposed to come. And I'm like, I want it now.
Yeah, and you've gotten to go out on the road a little bit.
Yeah, right? I've opened for Pax and P at Rick's, which I love Rick's. I mean, I've played there 4 or 5 times now.
How would you describe Rick's to somebody who hasn't been there before?
It's rowdy. It's crazy. Just imagine a bunch of Mississippi State college kids getting out for a weekend and just hanging out, drinking, and especially amp it up if there's a ball game that weekend, because then they're really going to go crazy. But it's so fun, especially like playing in your hometown. Like, I went to Mississippi State, and a lot of my friends went to Mississippi State. And so I know a lot of people there. I have a lot of connections there. And so it's like nice to like be able to play in front of like people that you grew up with. And you're like, I'm from Philadelphia. And they're just like, oh my God. Like, it's crazy. I'm like, oh, this is great. Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah. What's the biggest difference between Starkville and Oxford? Because I try to describe it to people. And I'd love to hear a local's interpretation.
I've only ever been to Oxford once, so I will say I'm probably not the best person to answer this question.
But, like, the stigma of, yeah, like, how folks in Mississippi think of the two.
So, Oxford is more for, like, or Ole Miss is more for, like, if you want to be a lawyer or something, like, that, then go to Ole Miss. Because Mississippi, I mean, I guess you could be a lawyer at Mississippi State, but Mississippi State's really more known for, like, their forestry or, like, you know, agriculture. Yeah. That's what they're known for. So just like, you know, rednecks versus, you know, I don't know.
It's like the blue blood, old money, yes, type of thing. Yes, like, yes, they got chandeliers at their tailgates and stuff.
Yes. And we don't. We no. we have cowbells and we have, I don't know. We have people fighting.
Yeah.
You know, but it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, because I've always identified more with Starkville. I've always identified more with Auburn versus Tuscaloosa. I compare it like that, where it's, if you've been to Auburn and you've been to Tuscaloosa, it's the same thing over the Mississippi line.
Yeah.
It's just Starkville.
And I feel like I'm more Starkville. I grew up a Mississippi State fan. I grew up with a cowbell in my hand, and I'm like,
yeah. How old were you when you got your first cowbell?
Oh my gosh, I'm sure I was like a baby. I'm sure my grandparents gave me a cowbell, like, you know, like they make baby cowbells, so really? I'm sure they gave me one. I don't know where it is, but yeah, I've always had a cowbell.
Yeah, Ike was saying that a Mississippi State fan gave him a cowbell to ring after they won that game.
Yes, it's intense. Like, the cowbells go crazy. I remember when they I don't know if it was illegal to bring cowbells in the games at one time, but, like, you couldn't bring them in. And so people would sneak cowbells in. So I remember being at the tailgates, and we had all our cowbells, and, like, we were stuffing them so you couldn't hear the bell. And, like, we were, like, putting them down our pockets. And, like, we were putting them everywhere. And we were just walking in with our cowbell. I was like, we're going to get this cowbell in the game, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, that's how we were. Nick and I were just at Texas Tech, and they have their thing. It's not cowbells. They throw tortillas.
Oh.
They, like, throw tortillas like Frisbees. So, and it was a big thing where this year, if a tortilla touches the field, Texas Tech gets a 15-yard penalty. So, at the start of the game, at kickoff, everybody threw, there were thousands of tortillas flying. I might have thrown three or four of them. I had a ball.
Oh, my God.
You, like, bite a hole in the middle of it so it flies a little bit further. Yeah. But it's funny how, like, every college, like, has their thing. Yeah.
Has their thing.
Yeah.
Die hard.
Have you gotten to travel around the country much?
To play shows, some. I've played some in South Carolina, Texas, but not really. Like, I haven't really been able to do, like, the whole, like, tour thing. Like, every weekend, like, three different cities every weekend. And that's what my heart's just like, let's do.
Yeah, the weekend warrior stuff. Yes. Where are the places you're most excited to go? Like, what would be on the list of, hey, JD, I want to play here?
I want to play... Let's see. I want to play in Georgia. I've never played in Georgia before.
Really?
I've never played in Georgia.
That surprises me.
Yeah, I want to play in Georgia. I want to play Red Rocks Amphitheater. Let's see. I want to play more in Texas because Texas is so big. I've only been to Dallas, like, played in Dallas, but I've been everywhere in Texas. But I want to play more in Texas. I mean, I don't really know. I would have to.
Have you been to New York before?
Oh, yes. I love New York. New York City. I know I'm a country girl, but something about New York City just fires me up.
What is it, you think?
I don't know. I really don't know what
it is.
Is
it just the energy and just there being 9 million people on an island?
Maybe that.
Like, you can't see the sky.
Yeah, it's like, maybe it's the skyline, maybe it's the people. I love New York City. It's something about it. Like, I feel like maybe it's... You can walk around everywhere. Like, I don't have to hop in my car and go somewhere. I could just walk.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah, walkability is nice.
I only like it for, like, 2 days.
Have you been up there around Christmas yet?
No. I think I'm going to go this year. Maybe. Yeah. Cross my fingers.
I like to say going in the fall and the winter is the best. I'm not a big summer New York City guy, even though I'm from there.
Yeah.
It gets so hot. There's a lot of trash.
Yeah.
It's not the most ideal.
Yeah.
But in Christmas time, it is the best.
I want to see the Christmas tree in Times Square.
Yeah.
That's
it's freaking
Rockefeller.
Massive. It's unbelievable.
I would probably cry if I saw that. Because I watch all these Hallmark movies.
Oh, you're a big movie girl.
I'm a big movie girl, especially Hallmark, even though I know how they're going to end. Like, I mean, it's, you know, how
the same thing, just different people.
Yes, but it's like something about it. And a lot of them are based in New York and it's just Christmas. And I'm like, I want to go to New York for Christmas.
Yeah. How have people reacted to your accent when you've been up there?
They definitely know I'm not from there. They're like, where are you from?
Do people compliment you on the accent?
Sometimes. Just depends on how long I hold the conversation for. But it's, I always get like, where you're not from here.
Yeah, because you talk very country. Like,
see,
you have one of the thicker accents of the girls in town. Like, when I think of thick accents, I think of Cal. Like,
that's
I think of you.
A lot of people say. But I mean, obviously, I don't hear my accent.
No, you
I just talk the way you talk.
Yeah.
I just think it's normal. but then if I go back and listen to like a voice memo of myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, like what in the world? But
yeah, because I used to use the being like a unicorn type of thing to my advantage when I would sell merch in the South.
Yeah.
They, all the girls would be like, you ain't from around here. You from the big city.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, buy this Porch Swing Angel t-shirt.
Yeah, please buy. Yeah, literally.
Yeah, you use it because it stands out. And your voice, you definitely hear the country in your singing and whatnot. Was there ever a thought of going a different style, or was country music always what you wanted to do?
Well, it was more natural to me.
Yeah.
I just, any other genre is not natural to me. Just the way I feel, like the way I talk, the way I sing. Like if I was to sing like a pop or something, they would be like, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like country is more natural to me, and I just, that's what I've always sang.
Yeah. Do you remember your first concert growing up?
Yes.
Who was it?
It was Nelly.
I saw Nelly for the first time last month.
Really?
And it was unbelievable. One of the best shows I've ever seen. He was an opener.
Yes, he was an opener when I saw him too.
Was it FGL?
It was.
Oh, the good old days.
I was a big FGL girl.
Yeah,
oh,
me
FGL.
Too.
FGL till I die. Like, honestly, I love FGL.
Yeah, that's been a topic on like the last few of these that I've done. We've landed on talking about the party era of like 2000s country.
Yeah.
Like 2010s, like that bro country era. There was nothing better than tailgating with your friends and family and then going in and just hearing bangers.
Yes, it was so fun. I mean, I remember listening to Cruise. I mean, for the first time, I was like, oh, I love it. And then especially when Nelly got on Cruise.
Oh, that remix.
Yes, I love, like, I'm a big like hip hop girly. I love like that stuff. I love all genres of music. But for some reason, I love Nelly. I've just always loved Nelly.
Yeah, and his show live is just the hits.
Yes, yes.
He's actually playing at Ascend tomorrow.
Wait, really?
You didn't know that?
No.
It's like him. It's not Ja Rule. Who the hell is it? It popped up as like an Instagram, and I think Brian Fraser and his wife are going. I got to look that up real quick because I saw him open. It was him. It's with Ja Rule and Eve. And it's it's like a. It's at Ascend, so looks like tickets are still available. So maybe you go check out Nelly.
I love
tomorrow,
Nelly.
Right? I can't go because we have our first round at the local.
Oh, wait, that's right. Oh, at the local.
Yeah, we moved to the local. So we're doing Wednesdays at Odie's.
Okay.
And Tuesdays outside the round is now at the local.
Okay.
Yeah.
The local was also one of the first bars because they're all ages.
Yeah.
It's not 21 and up, so I could get in.
Good chicken fingers, free parking, cheap drinks. It's a great spot.
Yes.
So we're excited to start the next chapter there. But yeah, Nelly played. It was Coe Wetzel, Nelly, and then Kane Brown.
Wait.
In Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
I love that.
And then the next day, get this, the next day, Parker McCollum headlined, Jesse Murph was direct support, and Flo Rida was in front of Jesse. And Flo Rida was unbelievable.
He's great.
Like, I love that we're getting into where you can go to a festival that's predominantly country, and they stick a Nelly or a Big X the Plug or a Flo Rida or a T-Pain or somebody like that.
Yes.
Pitbull. Like,
yes.
Give me that.
Mix the genres. Like, give us something else, you know? Just give us a little. Because I know, like, a lot of people that listen to country music also listen to, like, hip-hop and rap. I mean,
it's just good, a good time.
Yeah, so it's, you just like mix it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, like I forgot how many hits Flo Rida had.
Yes.
And it was just an hour of number ones that he's been a part of. Yeah. And when he played Low, like Apple Bottom Jeans, the place went nuts. That song. And he brought up probably like 50 or 60 girls from the crowd.
Yeah.
Like half the show was girls on the catwalk dancing while him and the guys were performing. It was crazy.
That's amazing.
Pure chaos. In Wisconsin, of all places.
Oh my gosh.
And Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
That's hilarious. That's great. I love shows like that. Just like energetic. Like when I go to a show, like I want to, like from the second you start singing to the second you're done, I just want to be like, I just want the energy to be up and just, I mean, obviously you have the slow songs, but mix them in there. Like, I want to have fun.
Yeah, like, I still want the Nelly over and over again. Like, yes. I want 2003 Tim McGraw popped up on the screen. I want Nelly having that one slow moment, just and like, then it's just all up from there.
Yes, the best. Yeah. So great.
Yeah, it's wild. When was the last concert that you went to?
The last concert I went to...
Because that's what's tough is you create music and you're so busy songwriting, but you got into it because you love music so much.
Yes.
And so you still want to be able to see live music.
I really think, this is going to sound so bad, I really think the last show I went to was in March of this year. It was in Edmonton, and it was a Jelly Roll tour. It was Jelly Roll, Josh Rawls, and then they had an opener. Yeah, nice. That was the last one I went to, I think.
Yeah, you got to see some of the Nickelback shows, right?
Yes.
Those are awesome.
Nickelback, hands down, my favorite band of all time. Hands down, will always be. They've always been my favorite band, and I've always gotten the most crap about that, too. They're like, Nickelback, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. Nickelback is the best. Yeah. Every single song, banger. Can't tell me otherwise.
Yeah, and it makes sense that you're a Nickelback and an FGL fan.
Yes.
It's all Joey.
Yes. Oh, wait. Yeah, it is.
Hardy. Morgan. Joey.
Joey knows what he's doing.
Yeah. That's what I joke about Bro Country. It was an extension of what we call like our butt rock era of the Nickelbacks, the Hinders.
Yeah. Oh, Hinder.
Saliva. Limp Bizkit, Creed. Yeah. You know we love that stuff.
Yes.
We're working on our next butt rock night too, by the way. Maybe we'll have to have you sing a Nickelback song.
Oh, I would be honored.
What song would it be?
I like Rockstar. I like Photograph. Oh my God. The one that I really like is blanking on me right now. It's the, I'm going to have to sing the melody so you know.
Yeah, do it.
It's like, nah, dun, 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 dun.
Animals.
Yes. I love it. Oh, nothing gets me more fired up than that. Let me tell you. I'm riding down the road. I'm like.
Yes. Just rocking out.
Yes. It's the best.
Driving black on black.
Yeah.
It's got my license back. Something special. Chad is just the soundtrack
of my life, honestly. I started listening to Nickelback when I was like 10 years old.
Yeah, they were one of the first CDs that I bought. Did you buy CDs when you were younger, or were you? Because I feel like we're only 5 years apart.
Yeah.
But I feel like they started going away around the time you
were buying. I have a lot of CDs still, but I don't know if I have a Nickelback CD. I really think the reason I got into Nickelback was, I think it was my dad or something, like they would always burn CDs.
Yeah.
And there was like a burnt CD like in a box, and a Photograph was on that CD, and I just like listened to it and I was like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Photograph really just got me into the Nickelback era.
Yeah. Yeah, they were that album that All the Right Reasons record, or I think it was All the Right Reasons, Reasons or something. It's the one with the car on it.
Yeah.
And it was like Photograph was on there, Animals was on there.
Yeah.
I think How You Remind Me obviously had been out, but there were a bunch of, So Far Away was on there.
Rockstar
was on there.
Yeah.
I remember my first CDs, I like to tell people it was that one. It was Kenny Chesney, No Shoes, No Shirt, No Problems.
Well, I
like
that.
Six.
Yes.
And then it was Red Hot Chili Peppers, that Stadium Arcadium, where it was like the blue one and the red one.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think of another country one that I bought. I think I bought an Aldine one when I was a kid too.
Yeah.
But it's like growing up, it switched to the streaming stuff pretty quick. Like we were all listening to Pandora when we were doing our homework.
Oh, I love Pandora. I don't really listen to Pandora anymore
because you have to
get the prescription. I'm not prescription, the
subscription. Yes. I get that confused all the time. Prescription,
the
subscription.
The subscription for the music.
Yeah. It's kind of like a prescription because music helps our mental health
so much.
It does.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically, it's a prescription.
It is. You don't even need a doctor for it.
No, literally. It's just $5 a month, and there you go.
That's the good stuff. So talk about this EP. So it's Girls Who Cuss.
Girls Who Cuss.
Which to me is the most on-brand Cali Prince title for a project ever.
Yes, which is crazy you say that. It was me, Chris Dubois, and JD Griever. We were all sitting, and we were trying to figure out the songs for the EP. And JD said, because I like had a big folder of like 50 songs, and the whole team listened to it, and they like kind of sent back the ones they liked, and Girls Who Cuss was like on everybody's list, which I mean, I've always loved that song, Girls Who Cuss, and just like the story behind it and who I wrote it with. And JD was like, if there's one song on here that I'm going to fight to be on this EP, it's Girls Who Cuss. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, no, like it's got to be on there. I'm like, it's on there. Girls Who Cuss, it made it. It's on there. And then he was like, that could be the title track to the EP. And I was like, wait, that's so cool, because that's a cool name for an EP. Girls Who Cuss.
Yeah, I mean, it stands out. Who'd you write that one with?
Becca Ray Green and Emmy Moyen.
Which are two of my other favorite females in town.
I love my
talk about the two of them, because Becca's a North Carolina girl, and then Emmy's also a Mississippi girl.
Yeah, she's a Starkville girl.
Yeah.
I met Emmy 2 years ago at Live Oak. And then I met Becca when I first moved to town, which is crazy. I've known her that long. And they're just two talented female songwriters. And Becca Ray, I cannot explain it, but her lyrics, they're so good. I mean, they're just different. And like, she's really taught me to like really write to a hook of a song. And it's like, when she goes to write a song, like the way she writes it, I would have never thought to write it that way. But it's like, it makes sense and it's good. And it's just like a different perspective of the song. And Emmy's a great like lyricist, melody girl. Like she's just all around, she's got it all.
Yeah, because she's a little younger than you, right?
Yes, she is. I want to say she's 21. She's 4 years younger than me.
Yeah, because I remember when she first started coming to town, she's like little sister in a way. Like where it's got to be cool, because not long before that, you were in that position.
I was the little sister.
You were the young girl that had moved from Mississippi that was trying to figure it out. So I'm sure she appreciates you being there for her.
I mean, and the first time I ever, because she was playing at Live Oak and I didn't know who she was. And one of my friends was like, hey, this girl, Emmy Moyen's playing at Live Oak. Like, would love for you to come watch her play. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't have anything to do. So I went to watch her play, and she was just so sweet, and just her songs were great, and I just like loved everything she did. And so I was like, hey, I'm Callie, like whatever. Like we started talking, and Becca like just so happened to be there that night.
Oh, no way.
And I was like, hey, like, and a lot, like John Kraft was there.
Yep.
There was like some more people that I knew, and I was like, hey, there's some songwriters here that I would love for you to like meet and introduce yourself to. And I was like, so I just took her around. I like took her to Becca, and I was like, Becca, this is Emmy. Emmy, this is Becca. I was like, y'all are both phenomenal. And we like got her right that day. And then I introduced her to John Kraft, and I introduced her to like somebody else, but I was like, you need to meet these people. And so I just kind of was like introducing her, because I know people did that for me. And so I was like, I want to return the favor and like do it for other people.
Yeah, who were some of the OGs that kind of took you under their wing when you first got to town?
Let's see. Trey Lewis was like a big one.
Yeah.
Love me some Trey Lewis. I'm trying to think. The Magic Kills artist people really helped me like play a lot of rounds and stuff. I really met a lot of people just like through rounds.
Just being honestly, at just the bar.
Being at the bar, networking with people. Like Christian Yancey was one of the first people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he wasn't the first people I met, but I was one of the first people he met. But like me and him kind of like became really good friends.
I remember thinking that him and Kenny were brothers, because they were both wearing their glasses and these young kids from Georgia. Yes. And I didn't know how damn young Kenny Whitmire was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now he's found his sound and he's killing it.
Yes, he's so good.
But I remember the two of them. I remember Sam, obviously, Sam Johnson. Talk about how important a guy like Sam was, because he just one of the best.
He was like a big brother to me. He was one of my best friends. I talked to him almost every single day. He believed in me so much, and I can never thank him enough for that. And we wrote all the time. No telling how many songs I wrote with Sam. And me and Max wrote with Sam all the time. So it was just, you know, Sam's always going to be like with me, and he was just so special. And just, I think about him every single day, especially like with all the things that have like been going on, like for me and like, not just for me, but like for Max and like Christian and like all these other people in our group. It's like, you can't help but think, like you can't help but want him here for that, but I know he's like watching.
It's like his songs are gonna live on forever.
Yes, forever.
There's so many that haven't even been cut yet.
I know.
That are sitting in the catalog that people in your crew and so many of the guys and girls that he wrote with.
Yeah.
And his legacy is gonna live on forever.
Oh yeah. He was one of the best songwriters I had ever written with. He was he was great. I mean, I have his signature tattooed on my arm. So
Yeah.
I always swore I was like, I'm never gonna get anyone's name on my body.
Sam's different. Sam's not anybody.
Yeah, Sam's just not anybody. And it was so crazy, like the timeline of everything. He was at my house, we were writing, and I had a notepad on my fridge, and he like wrote me a note. He was like, I wrote you a note. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And he literally wrote a note, love Sam, like that's what he wrote on the note. And I was like, okay. I was like, that's sweet, I guess. And so I always kept it on the fridge. And then like the day he passed away, I immediately went home and I ripped it off the fridge and I like, kept it in my purse. And I still have it in my purse.
Wow.
And me and Max, we were like, we want to get something for Sam because he was so special to us. And so I was like, I want to get this tattooed on my wrist. And I specifically got it tattooed on my wrist so I was the only person that could see it. Because it's like, I didn't get it for everyone to be like, oh, like she got this. I got it for me. And I look at it all the time and it's very special to me. And
yeah, that's how I feel about like the sobriety date being there. That's like, it's something that I can look down on and see if the temptation ever does cross. I'm like, hey, 30 of 2016, you've been doing it this long, Bubba.
Hey, look, you got
No reason to put a drink in your mouth,
I know.
So there's something special. Talk about the tattoo, because that's a part of you too, is like your tattoos. And I don't think you had those when I first met you. Like, I feel like that's been more on the recent thing.
Yeah, I feel like I went on like a tattoo rampage for like a year and a half, and just like I was getting tattoos left and right. My mom had to say like, Callie, you've gotta no more tattoos. And I was like, I'm gonna get more tattoos. I have a whole Pinterest board of tattoos that I want.
So. What do we think the next one's gonna be?
I really want a tiger for some odd reason. I do not know why. I want a tiger somewhere on my body.
What is it about tigers that make them special?
I have no idea.
Just that it's...
Well, I have, like, I've recently gotten into, like, this, like, how Stevie Nicks is, like, her, like, style and just, like, that whole, like, era stuff. And it's very, like, 70s vibes.
Yeah.
I mean, I just ordered, like, an animal print rug, and it's very, like, 70s vibes. And, like, I really, like, changed my whole room, like, my whole wardrobe to, like, animal print and just, like, that, like, share. Like, I literally have a Pinterest board of, like, Cher's outfits, and I'm like, I want this to be, like, the way I dress, which is so random because I look nothing like Cher.
No.
But, I mean, you would have never expected.
Yeah.
But I was like, I love her style, and I don't know. I just think it's something about, like, that era. It's just, I just want a tiger.
I think it's cool.
I mean, didn't Mike Tyson have a tiger, like a pet?
Mike Tyson had pet tigers, yeah. He had the one that was in The Hangover.
Yeah.
Where they had to return it.
That's right, yeah.
They had to return it, yeah.
I will never have a pet tiger, but I just want a tiger.
And no Joe Exotic stuff going on.
No.
So talking more about the EP, how many songs are we thinking?
Six.
Are gonna be on there? Six.
Six.
Okay, go through the songs. So obviously.
Girls Who Cuss. Creature of Habit. I wrote with Ryan Cohn and Wolf Mahler.
Okay.
And then I have I Killed a Man, who I wrote with Ryan Cohn, Max King, and Emmy Moyen. Heart of Stone, Ryan Cohn and Cole Miracle. Cigarettes with Jack Hummel and Walker Tootin. And then I have Pigs Can't Fly, who I wrote with Ryan Cohn and Sarah Allison Turner.
I was gonna say, I think I've heard the Pig song before, too. That's another staple.
It's a crowd pleaser. They love it.
What do you think it is about that song?
Calling a man a pig. It's, you know, people, if this is how I like to what I like, especially if I'm at the listening room and people are actually listening to me.
Yeah.
I like to preface the song with, because a lot of people are like, oh my God, don't be mean. Like, don't call people names. I'm quite the opposite. I'm like, I will call you what you are and I'll call you how it is. I always like to preface like, hey, I write these songs because I think they're fun. And this is like truly what I have to say.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you don't have a sense of humor, you probably are not going to like this next song. And people start laughing. And I'm like, I'm being completely honest because I've had some people like, they're like, why would you say that? You know, like, why would you call someone that?
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. That's, you know what I mean? And it's about a guy who cheated on someone. You know? It's like, I don't know. It's just, I love it. And
yeah. Yeah, and it's something that people relate to.
Yes, a lot of people relate to that song. Maybe not the scenery of like how we painted it in an airport. You know, maybe you didn't find out your boyfriend cheated in the airport, you know, but the sense of the song is like, your boyfriend cheated on you.
He's a pig.
He's a pig. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot worse things I can call him. Yes. Let's be quite frank. There's a lot worse things that I can call you than a pig. But.
Yeah. Of the songs that you've been able to put out and like what's coming, like what's been some of the response been in terms of people online messaging you being like, this song helped or this song made me feel this way or thank you for putting this out. Because you're starting to see now as things are going, mm-hmm. that following is going to go up. The reach is going to go up.
Yeah.
And the people that are consuming your music on the regular is going to go up. Yes, like girls and guys are going to be listening to your stuff all over the place.
I feel like I've gotten a really good response from cigarettes. I haven't started to promote Peace Can't Fall yet. Which I'm really excited about that one. I'm really excited.
All the content you can do with that.
The content. I mean, Ike shot all my content for the whole EP. And so we really had fun shooting Pigs Can't Fly content. I just love that song. And my team loves that song. Like, when we were going through songs to put on the EP, the first one, they said they were like, Pigs Can't Fly has to be on the EP. And I was like, okay, let's do it. I love it. I mean, it's just great. And it's just like, I mean, I've been through that. I've been cheated on before. So I think
guys and girls have been through that.
No, literally.
Like everybody.
You don't have to just be like, it could be a guy calling. I mean, well, no, I don't guess. Never mind. I'm not going to finish that sentence. But, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone can feel this song.
Yeah, and it makes you smile.
It makes you smile. It makes you laugh. Because no one knows the hook. I think, honestly, up until I say the hook, no one knows where I'm going with this song. And then I say the hook, and people lose their minds. Lose their minds. I have a video from the listening room of me singing it. And I, like, got right up to the hook. And I'm like, who says pigs can't fly? Oh, my gosh. Lost it. Everyone started laughing. They're like, whoa! I was like, yes, this is what I need.
These are my people.
Yes, these are my – they understand me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What are the big goals for, we got the EP coming out and we're looking to get on the road. It seems like the road is a big goal, but mm-hmm. just for you on a personal level and for like career wise, what are some goals of what we're looking to get done? It's crazy. We're almost done with 2025, but some stuff you want to have happen before the end of this year and some stuff that you're really keeping in on the vision board for next year.
I feel like for this year, I've really hit a lot of my goals. I can't really say a lot of the goals because they're not finalized yet, but they're in the works. Like I signed the management deal. That was a huge goal for me this year, was to like build a team. And I feel like I've been blessed with a really good team. And I have another goal in the works, which is not finalized, like I said, but it's been a really big goal of mine since I moved to Nashville. And just like get on the road playing shows, just like really finding out who I am as a person, because I feel the more that I like play shows or like the more new people I'm around or like the more opportunities I have, like I find out more stuff about myself, which I didn't know, you know, because I feel like being an artist, you learn so much about yourself just by being on the road and playing shows. Like, I mean, you just, it's something about it, and you just learn so much about yourself. So I really can't wait to do that, to grow into like to really who I am and just find out and find my people and, you know, sing my songs for people.
That's awesome.
Really just my main goal for next year is just figure it out. I just feel like you're always figuring it out, trying to do something.
Yeah.
Trying to do something.
Talk about the support of your family and how they've allowed you to pursue your dream, because that's something that we can relate to.
Yes.
My parents let me do this crazy Raise Rowdy stuff. Yes. You know, it's like, it's something special about having parents and grandparents and siblings and a support system that's like, keep chasing it, keep going.
Yes. I have some of the best family in the whole entire world. They have always supported me from day one. I mean, after high school, I wanted to move to Nashville straight out of high school. And my parents were like, no, like, you need to go to college, like, whatever. And I was like, okay, I'll go to college. So I went to Mississippi State for 1 year and I dropped out. And I basically said, look, I moved to Nashville. Like, it's a burning desire in my heart to do this. And so I moved to Nashville. You're with me or not. And they were with me, obviously, because here I am. But it was, I feel like it was a big transition for them because I – because my brother still lived at home. He still went to Mississippi State. Like, all my family was still in Mississippi. And I was really the first one that left. And it was, like, five and a half hour drive. Like, I wasn't just, like, an hour away.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was a big adjustment for my whole family. But they knew that this is what I've always wanted to do, and they've always supported me in it. I mean, I've always said I want to be in country. I want to be a country music artist. That's all I've ever wanted to do. And I feel like I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So they've always supported me.
I'd say you are, for sure. What are some of your, we talked about, like, back in the day, like, mm-hmm. the OG Live Oak, and talked about, like, in the local. And
yeah.
Where are some spots that you like to go out and hang out, whether it's, like, restaurants or bars? You don't, mm-hmm. you're not having to be in the bars as much as you were. I feel like that's a thing that I'm still in them because we're doing all of our damn events.
Yeah.
But for you, where are some spots that you like to go hang out in town?
Red Door.
Red Door.
Big Red Door.
Still a Red Door girl.
I'm still a Red Door girl. I mean, it was an adjustment after I stopped drinking, but I mean, now I just smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
At Red Door, you know?
Yes.
And a lot of places have NA beer, so I mean, it's really nothing's changed for me, but I love Red Door. Huge Red Door girl. I love Tin Roof is also a really good one. I like to hang out. I don't really hang out there a lot. I don't really go out a lot.
Yeah.
But
that's what I mean. Like, even like restaurants, like, oh, where are places that you like going?
I love Tequila's Mexican restaurant. It's my favorite place to go.
Tequila's, where's that?
It's in Bellevue.
I don't know if I'm not as familiar with the West Side.
Yeah. Oh,
I need to
West
get,
is best.
I know you're a West. I've been West, a West person I'm for a while for now.
At least 3 years. I'm a West girl till I die. Tequila's is life changing. It will change your life. It is so good.
And that means a lot coming from a Southern girl, because you guys love your Mexican food. That blew my mind coming from New York. I was like, oh, there's going to be barbecue. There's going to be fast food. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, they love Mexican food.
I've always loved Mexican food. Like, I could eat Mexican food every single day of the week and not get tired.
Will you mix up your order? Will you just get the same thing every time?
I used to do, like, the chicken, cheese, and rice.
Yeah, that's what I'm still in my chicken, cheese, and rice era right
so
now.
So that's what I did. I did that for a long time. But then when I started going to Tequila's, I was like, they have a huge menu. Like, I'm just going to switch it up. So I started getting this thing called margarita lime chicken. So it's basically, like, chicken marinated in their margarita,
like,
mix.
Okay.
No alcohol.
But so, like, it's, like, sweet.
Yes, it's, like, sweet, limey, and it comes with rice, and they put cheese and, like, tomatoes and onions on top of it. Life-changing. I've gotten that for the last year. Like, it's so good.
I'm going to have to come out and try that.
Yes, I will take you to Tequila's.
I will have to go, because I've been Erin always gives me shit, because she's like, we'll go out for Mexican, and she'll look right at the waiter and be like, he'll have chicken, cheese, and rice.
Hey, it's a safe meal.
And I like just you can dip the chips in it. Turns into a dip.
Yeah,
like,
it's great.
Nikki T likes, he gets the alambres or whatever. Like, Nikki T gets a little bit, he stretches out a little bit.
Yeah.
1 week it's fajitas, then it's this, then it's that. Like, we have our different orders, but I'll have to go and check it out. Shout out to Tequila's.
Yeah, shout out. I'll have to tell them I shout them out on podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Get a free dessert.
Yeah, get a free dessert or a free queso or something.
I'm like a huge, and we always get the guacamole. They have, it's called guacamole casero.
Ooh.
And it's like freshly made guacamole.
Okay.
And it has like onions. It's like, you know how guacamole is.
Yeah.
And it's just so good. I love guacamole.
Yeah, we'll have to get out there to Tequila's.
Yes.
We'll have to celebrate when the EP comes out.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. I would have to. Can I rent this place out for the night?
That'd
just
be the
invite
most,
all my friends.
That'd be the most on brand.
They probably would. They know who I am in there.
Oh,
that's
I'm
how
sure.
much I go.
Yeah.
Like last night, it was me, Jake, Cody, Loden, and Wilkins. And
what a group of four to have at a Mexican restaurant.
No, I'm like sitting there, I'm starving. I'm like sitting there ready to order. The guys at our table ready to order. And Cody and Wilkins are just speaking Spanish. Like this waiter and Cody and Wilkins, whole Spanish conversation. And I'm like, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I don't even, I'm like, can I order? Like I'm literally hungry. And the waiter's like, oh, she's hungry. And I was like, I'm starving. I'm ready to eat.
See, Wilkins, I would imagine, could speak Spanish just because he's a total wild card.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you told me Wilkins is a skydiving instructor, it wouldn't
you
surprise
would
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's Wilkins.
Yeah.
Cody, big sexy, speaking Spanish.
I did not know he had that in him.
He
was full on, like, and then the guy was, like, teaching us new, like, words, like, how to say stuff. And Cody's like, how do you say this? And the guy would like say it. And then like Cody was saying it the whole night. He was just like, I can't remember what it was. But
that's
I was like,
funny.
Oh my God. Can I order, please? My margarita lump chicken. Can I order my margarita lump chicken?
That's awesome. That's exciting. What's something that you would tell that 19-year-old girl that moved out here?
Keep going. Just keep doing it. Never give up on yourself, and it's going to happen. It might take a little bit, but it always happens when it's supposed to happen. And I'm glad it didn't happen years ago, because I wasn't ready, and I didn't know who I was. Yeah. And I didn't know like what to sing about. I didn't know what to say. And I feel like everything just like happened the way it was supposed to. And now I feel great. And I'm so happy that everything's turned out. So I would just tell her to never give up. I would tell anybody to never give up, because if it's really something you want to do, then do it. Yeah. You just have to do it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I agree with you 100%, because like the talents, it's always been there. I remember first time we had you on around and watching you play Rowdy on the Row and doing all the stuff. But now it's like, you know what you want to say.
Yeah.
You know exactly how to say it. Mm-hmm. Like the steps are there.
Yeah.
Like it's freaking happening.
Yeah.
And I'm so freaking excited for you. I can't wait for this. Do we know when the EP could be coming?
It drops November 14th.
Let's go. Yep. Like soon.
Yes. November 14th. We're going to have like an EP release show November 13th. The Listening Room.
Oh, so sick.
Everybody can come.
November 13th.
November 13th at the Listening Room.
Marking the calendar.
It'll be me, Max, King, and Ryan Cohn. We'll just be up there. Yeah, it'll be the crew.
An awesome round.
I know.
That's a prime round right there. We will mark that on the calendar. Yes. Nikki T and I will be there to celebrate.
Yes.
It's going to be freaking awesome.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it to be out here. I'm excited for everybody to hear it. I feel like I've been working on this for a long time, and I just didn't realize it until I had a team behind me to like really push me to do it.
Yeah.
So
that's what it's all about. It takes a village. It
takes a village, and I have the best village in the whole world.
You really,
I
do.
Really do.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks
here
for
and
having
hanging.
Me.
I got a bunch of hats for you to sift through over there. It's been a
yay.
While since we've gotten you
a new hat.
I know you have a bunch of them, and thank you for always repping.
Oh my gosh,
the brand.
Always.
You have been like one
my
of the
whole
day
family
ones.
Reps Razor Out.
Okay,
brand.
Well, you have to take some to bring back to the family for sure. We got a bunch
rep.
Of them over there. Y'all be sure to check out Cigarettes. It's out right now, and be on the lookout for Girls Who Cuss. You can pre-order and pre-save that sucker real soon, depending on when this episode comes out. And mark the calendar for November 14th when it's coming out. November 13th, let's sell out the damn Listening Room for CFP and the boys. Release show going on at the Listening Room on Thursday, November 13th. Y'all be sure to look Callie up. Give her a follow. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. Check out the music, Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. Also, shout out to our friends from Surfside. No bubbles, no troubles. It's not a seltzer. It's a Surfside Sunshine in a can. Be sure to check them out. And for more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. For my girl Callie, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Outside the Round.
Been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve, they usually just make them leave. So if you know